The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Jill Redding. I played Dolores on The Wire, and you're listening to the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 393. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD cast. Well, this past weekend, I had an amazing experience at PowerCon. That convention celebrating its second year coming to Columbus, Ohio. I did not go last year. I went on Sunday of this year. And actually, there's a big backstory to me going, but I'll save that for next week because I got a chance to talk to some cool people down there at the convention. And so, much like I do with any comic book convention, I'm going to kind of splice it all together and have a nice little compact wrap-up of my experience at PowerCon. But I'll say it right now, it was awesome. I picked up something that I needed to pick up. And you know what? I'm gonna keep all of that for next week. But trust me, if you love toys, you'll love to hear next week's episode. But now on to this episode, which was recorded in mid-July. I'm sitting down with a filmmaker from the great state of Maine, Benji Ott. I discovered Benji's project on Indiegogo, and I think I've mentioned it many times before on this podcast, but a lot of times I will check out Kickstarter or Indiegogo and see what's happening in the comics world or in the movie or film world and see if anybody's got some projects they'd like to talk about. And Benji took me up on that offer. So I'm happy to say that even though we recorded in mid-July, that the Indiegogo campaign, which ended at the end of July, has been fully funded. And so, as you're going to hear, Benji, at the time of our recording, was getting ready to start some production. And so you're going to hear a lot about how Benji and his crew are going to put together this movie called Marley. In fact, I just realized I never mentioned the name of it. But Marley is a kind of slice of life movie that I think we all can understand. You know, it's about making time for your loved ones, your friends, yourself, but also doing all the things you need to do. So, as I said, we're going to talk about that as well as some of his other film projects that he has been involved with in the past and a whole host of other things related to film. So, but before we get to the conversation I had with Benji, I want to thank one more time my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. Folks, you hear it time in and time out, episode in and episode out. Is that a thing? I don't know, but you know what I mean. There is no greater comic book store than World's Greatest Comics. And if you're in Central Ohio, you owe it to yourself to stop by and see all of the single issues, collections, graphic novels, back issues, toys, collectibles, etc., that the store has. And that store is very simple to find, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you're somebody that maybe, like Benji, is listening in another state, well, you could still follow the store. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And I say it all the time, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate all of the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. Their patronage, their support means the world to me. And if you happen to get an opportunity to stop by the store or follow them online, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with filmmaker Benji Ott. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, I am sitting down with an independent filmmaker. He's out of the state of Maine, Mr. Benji Ott. Benji, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you have a project that I stumbled across by just kind of checking out some of those crowdfunding sources. It's a film called Marley. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about what the film is about without, you know, giving away too much?
Yeah, sure. So the film Marley is about this young woman, Marley, who is working 60-hour work weeks, two jobs, just very busy. And when she finally has an off day to herself, she wants to spend it with, you know, the people that she loves. But they keep on canceling on her. And her often late and somewhat obnoxious brother shows up during that day, and mayhem ensues on their adventure.
All right. You know what? I got to say, I watched the video that was on the Indiegogo page there. And I do enjoy, maybe it's just me, but I enjoyed the part where the actress who's playing Marley was talking to another character. I don't remember which one. It's in the character said, "I left a note. It is about concert tickets." And that scene is not exactly what I expected, the way you ended yeah. in there. I kind of like thought, I didn't anticipate him literally leaving a note in the mailbox. So it kind of made me yeah. chuckle a little bit. I don't know if anybody else felt the same way I did, but I just thought that was kind of funny and delightful in the same way, in the same manner.
Yeah. That was, it was definitely very fun to film that scene. Just everyone had kind of a ball with that. And overall, that scene is kind of similar to the whole tone of the movie where, yes, there's like serious subject matter and seriousness, but there's also parts like that where it's lighthearted and it keeps things fun.
Let me ask you about penning this tale, because if I did my research correct, you wrote this as well, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So how did the writing process begin for you, if you don't mind me asking? Did you, obviously you had an idea for this movie. And so you went from that, did you kind of start just furiously writing, you know, and just to hell with format or anything? Or did you start like outlining things? Like, did you write indoors? Did you write outdoors? Like, what was the writing process for you for this short film?
So some background on like the story of it all, it was, I used to work at a restaurant in my hometown, and I had a coworker and also a close friend, and we worked there. And one day after work, we were just talking, and she was talking about how she's, you know, she's working these long hours at work, and you know, days just go by, and she always does things for other people, but she doesn't feel appreciated or seen in the same way that she treats her loved ones and friends. And I just thought it was such a kind of universal feeling, in the sense of like everyone wants to feel appreciated for their work and everyone wants to be seen. And so I remember that, and I was like, because I've definitely felt that way before. She felt that way, and I've known many friends and family members that also feel that way sometimes. And so I just thought it would be a great story to have. So the story of Marley is loosely based on that interaction and that friendship between me and my coworker. But as we got closer to the writing stages of it, I have a very, from my other writer friends, I have a different way of writing scripts, where just throughout, you know, the week or the day, like I'll just have ideas and I'll just have to write it down in my notes, and they're just fragments of the story, and they're always just out of time, in the sense of like I'll sometimes write a scene towards the end of the movie, and then I'll go back and write a scene like towards the beginning of the movie. Okay. And you know, so forth. And so that was similar to this writing experience, where I was just getting ideas left and right of what we could possibly do, and it just kept on building and building. And then once I had a rough outline of the story, then I just wrote it all down in the script.
You are still working on this film, correct?
Yes, we start filming this weekend, actually.
Okay, because I was going to ask the status of how long is it taking you to get this produced, but obviously with it not being completely finished, that was probably a silly question, but has it been at least a smooth process?
Yeah, I mean, like with every film, you know, there's always going to be hiccups here and there. But overall, I mean, this project has gone very, very smoothly compared to other projects that I've worked on. And I think that's just a testament to the crew that's on this project. And my producers, Mikayla Tillo and Eliana Brown, have just been so supportive and just been working very hard. And then, you know, multiple crew members like Sam Workman and John Washington, they've just been amazing to work with. And, you know, we've had a hiccup here and there, but we've just kept it rolling, and we're rolling with the punches, and we're on track to have a great film.
Were many of these individuals on the crew, have you worked with them on other projects in the past?
Yeah, so with Eliana Brown, I've worked with her on a feature length that I directed 2 summers ago, and a couple projects here and there, you know, just small like YouTube videos pretty much. And then Mikayla Tillo, she was directing a short film for her college thesis, and I auditioned for it, and she casted me, and just our work relationship has grown since then. And yeah, it's been great. But overall, like most of the crew for this film, I've only worked on like one project with them, so it's definitely a new relationship with everyone, but it's a working one, and it's beautiful to see.
Let's talk about some of those new folks, the first time working with them. Did you have any hesitation? Because, you know, you know, obviously, Mikayla, for an example, you've worked with her before in the past. So was there any amount of hesitation about bringing new people to the circle? Because, you know, that I imagine might be a concern for a filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's always some slight hesitation, just, you know, how well these people work with each other and how will the dynamics work on set, because everyone has a different filmmaking style. I know from two of my close filmmaking friends, they have very different filmmaking styles and for me. And so I know, depending on what we're working on, it definitely matters where you have people on the crew and what position you have them on. So all of the crew members that are on this project have either worked with me once or Mikayla once. And so we had a pretty good idea of where to put people and like where to hire them and like where to really utilize their great abilities and skills that they have as filmmakers and make sure that it's one that services the story as well as it can.
That makes sense. It's good, kind of, if you will, to use an old slogan, you kind of like accentuate the positives and maybe hide some of the weaknesses of those individuals by plugging them into the right position and the right job on the set.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Indiegogo campaign. We are recording this and there's still about 2 weeks left, if I recall correctly. So talk to me a little bit about the status of it. What are some of the perks? What are some of the things that you're hoping to get out of the Indiegogo, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so we were about, last time that I checked, I believe we're around like 10 days left, and we're about halfway towards our goal. And so that's a huge accomplishment on its own. But yeah, so some of the perks, we have posters from the film that people can donate and receive, thank you letters, producer credits, as well as a lookbook of behind the scenes pictures that my buddy Chad Ackerson will be doing throughout production. And he's been doing amazing photography so far, and I'm very excited to see what we capture during the production. But yeah, just overall, just a lot of perks and, you know, things to help support independent filmmakers.
obviously, financing is probably the largest hurdle that independent filmmakers have. What do you think is maybe the second biggest hurdle?
I would say the second biggest hurdle would be definitely scheduling things out, because obviously, you know, we're independent filmmakers. This isn't our full-time job. So many of us have second jobs where, you know, we're working more conventional jobs, and those take up most of our week. So finding time for everyone to be on set, or at least as many people as we can get on set at the same time, that's definitely the hardest part. And I think throughout all levels of filmmaking, whether it's, you know, independent or, you know, up in Hollywood, it's scheduling is probably one of the hardest things, just getting everyone in the same room and just creating something that we love.
Okay. You have the, I guess you could say, the production company called Till Tomorrow Pictures.
Yeah.
What was the reason behind the name?
Yeah, so it's, I forget the exact origin, but I remember it was in high school when I came up with the name, and it's, the moral of it is, there's always more to do tomorrow. There's always going to be a tomorrow and another story to make and another story to tell. And so it's just this idea of just continually making stories and connecting with people through these stories.
How do you balance your work and home life? Because obviously that's the main theme of this film, Marley. And actually, I'm going to ask you about a couple of your other projects, because I watched Late Nights, and I feel like that is also a theme of this work, home life, even though it's a much more sinister look at that theme. But how do you balance work and home?
Well, that's a good question. I would say, yeah, I mean, around 4 to 5 days a week, I have my main job, and you know, so I work early in the morning and then get out early in the afternoon. And then when I come home, I just either decompress and just chill out for a little bit, and then, you know, have some dinner, and then, you know, just work on film projects, or you know, hang out with friends if, you know, everyone schedule opens up. And yeah, just, you know, just kind of take it day by day and just try to enjoy the small moments as best as possible.
Do you find sometimes the need for you to make yourself stop, like, working so you have home life? Because I can empathize with that, because running two podcasts, I oftentimes will have to force myself to say, it's 10 o'clock at night, it's time to stop. Has that happened to you, or?
Well, my girlfriend definitely helps me with that.
Okay.
Whenever we hang out, we tend to just, you know, just chill out and just have a good time and just kind of take a break from work life. And yeah, so I would say she definitely helps me balance that out.
Okay, gotcha. Well, let's talk about a couple of those other projects. And I mentioned I sat down and watched Late Nights. So let's talk about that film for a little bit. How'd you get involved in that project, if I may ask?
Yeah, so that was, I went to college at Southern Maine Community College, and I went for their filmmaking program. And they have this great filmmaking program where your senior year, you do your thesis film. And the course that they do is called Maine Mayhem, and it's a film festival. And what happens is, the first semester in the fall, you go through all the pre-production planning. So all the, you know, scheduling, all the contracts, all the screenwriting, just everything to do with pre-production. And at the end of the semester, you produce your film, or you present your film idea to a panel of producers. And in that class, they only pick 6 directors to produce their short film. And the year that I did it, I was lucky enough to be one of the 6 directors, and that was Late Nights.
Why the I said sinister, but it's got a very different tone. So I guess why was it your notion or your gumption to kind of go in that darker realm, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a love for thriller movies, and you know, so something like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by David Fincher, or Prisoners, definitely darker movies, but still, you know, movies that excite and that have, or at least with Prisoners, you know, just at the base and at the core of it, just a family trying to stay together through this very hard time that is happening in the film. Mm-hmm. So in Late Nights, I wanted to explore kind of the loss of innocence of whether it's the main character or the son of the main character. I just wanted to explore those kind of themes and just really explore it in a way that I haven't seen before in film through like a thriller. You know, I've seen like coming of age stories where they talk about loss of innocence as they, you know, come to terms with how life works and how they understand the world as it comes to them. But I haven't seen it in like a thriller sense.
This short film is on YouTube, by the way. So definitely I would urge you to check it out. I just simply typed in Late Nights. I got like a bevy of results, but I think it was like the fourth or fifth one down. So if listeners out there, check it out. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Benji for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They've got you covered for your fandom. So stop by the store if you're in the area. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can follow them online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Well, let's talk about a couple of other ones real quick here. You were involved in a project called I Hope They See It in the End. So could you tell the listeners a little bit of, about that film, like what the summary is of it, and how you got involved in the project?
Yeah, so that was, I wrote, directed, and starred in that film, and that was actually filmed the summer after I made Late Nights. And so that movie is about this artist, Zach Mooney, as he is being followed by a documentary crew that is led by an old friend from high school. And it really just tells his story about how he got into art, how art affects his life, with his friends, with his past relationships, with his current relationships, and even with parental figures. And it's really just a slice of life for that character.
And even though it is shot as a documentary, it is a fictional character, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Okay. So folks, don't be anticipating it to be a true story. It's a more of a, I don't know, would you say mockumentary would be an appropriate term, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want you to be offended, be like, what? No, shut up, John. You know?
No. Yeah. I mean, it's throughout like writing it and then filming it and then since editing it, I've still had a tough time trying to describe like what genre it is. So it is like a mockumentary. Filmed in the way of a mockumentary, but it's definitely a drama comedy. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about just a couple more projects here? How about Windbrook?
Oh yeah, that was my first short film that I had ever directed and wrote when I was 17. At a time, it was 2017, so this movie Hell or High Water had just come out.
Yes, and very good.
I love just heist films, and so I fell in love with that film as it came out. So I was like, okay, well, I do want to, might as well for like my first film, just like try a heist film, just see what I can do. And so that's kind of where it came from.
Do you look back at when Brooke can go, man, I've advanced so much from that film to Late Nights to Marley. Do you ever get self-reflective?
Yeah. Yeah. there's from technical levels of there's multiple shots in Windbroke where it's just out of focus and the camera work's not good. So then just story details about just overall, just becoming more advanced over time. But yeah, I do definitely get reflective about these stories, and it does in a way, and not in like a cocky way, but it does amaze me just like how far I have advanced as a writer and director. But just, you know, looking at anybody's body of work, you always look for a progression and advancement. And so I'm definitely proud of what I've been able to accomplish, but there's still so much that I need to learn and so much to grow with.
Okay. And the final project I'm going to ask you about, Small Street.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a short film my senior year of high school, when I was 18. And it's probably, in terms of story, it's my favorite film that I've made so far. And it's just about two brothers just hanging out one weekend, and the older brother is holding on to a secret from his younger brother, and his younger brother finds out, and they have a discourse about it. And it's very loosely based on me and my brother's relationship and how we have evolved over the years. And I hope to make Small Street into a feature length someday.
Cool. So how did you get into filmmaking, Benji? Like, did it obviously you said it, you know, you've done some projects in high school. So was it even earlier than that, like when you were middle school or elementary school, that you wanted to make movies? Or when did this all click for you?
To tell you the truth, it was a natural progression where, like, it started out with just wanting to entertain people through a story mm-hmm. form. Mm-hmm. And so I had done theater acting ever since I was in like elementary school, and then in middle school, with the, you know, rise of YouTube and like YouTube skits, I decided to create a YouTube channel and do some very embarrassing skits looking back at it now. I feel like most people can relate to that. But yeah, so I did that, and it was just, you know, whether it was, you know, 12 viewers on the channel or, you know, 100 views, it was always entertaining to hopefully, you know, entertain someone for, you know, maybe even just a minute. So I've always loved entertaining people and, you know, giving people a way to escape their own life for just, you know, whether it's a couple minutes or, you know, a full feature length time. And then as I got to high school, there was this film festival at my high school called the Casco Bay Anchor Film Festival. And it's where high schoolers would just make short films and they would just present it this one night. And I went to it my freshman year of high school, and it was just this, just the amount of creativity and just inspiration that you would get from this film festival from kids around your age. It just really inspired me to be like, all right, I love doing this. Why can't I, you know, start now? Because you hear about, you know, directors not starting to make feature length films until they're in, you know, their mid 30s. Why not, you know, why not start now and just get the ball rolling? And, you know, so the mix of loving watching films and then the mix of, you know, wanting to tell people stories and entertain them, it just formed early on in high school.
What's the future hold for you in your career in filmmaking? If I could, I know that's like the million-dollar cliched question. I know, but just what in your opinion do you hope to be doing in 5 years from now or whatnot?
Really, just being able to, whether it's directing or acting, just really having the opportunity to work on films with just a wide variety of people, just from all walks of life. And I just think filmmaking is such an important tool and an important craft where, you know, dozens to hundreds of people come together to tell this one story on a project, and because they believe in it and because they know it's an important message and story to tell to a wider audience. And that's really what film is about, is just connecting with large amounts of people through, you know, what seems like a personal story turns out to be a very universal story. So I would love to be working on feature length films with all sorts of people and just creating memories and stories that last a lifetime.
All right, maybe a question that's a little easier. I think it's the question everybody asks, but let's talk about your favorite movies. You said that you enjoy heist films. So what are some of your favorite movies? Maybe pick four or five. I know sometimes it's hard to narrow it down to just four or five.
Yeah, that is a tough one. all right, well, I'll say the one that got me into acting very much so was Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon and Robin Williams. So that's one of them. Moonlight, I love that movie by Barry Jenkins. I love Little Women by Greta Gerwig. I thought that adaptation was just so beautiful and just so amazing. I would say Waves by Trey Edward Schultz. That's a very good movie. And its story structure is very unconventional, where it switches the main character halfway through. And then I would say for my final one, which is also a very unconventional story structure, is Place Beyond the Pines with Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper. That was honestly the film that like really got me into filmmaking.
Okay. Who was the director for that one, Place Beyond the Pines? Was that...
I believe...
Was it the same person as Drive?
No, that Drive was Nicholas Winding Refn. Place Beyond the Pines was Derek Cianfrance.
Okay.
I believe I butchered his last name, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if Nicholas Winding Refn had been, because he did, what was the other one he did after Drive?
He did Only God Forgives, which was also,
yes. Okay.
Yeah, which okay. was also Ryan Gosling.
Okay, I get those two confused, A Place Beyond the Pines and Only God Forgives. Like, I don't know why, because I've never seen A Place Beyond the Pines, first of all, so I have no idea why I keep getting them confused.
They both feature Ryan Gosling, you know.
Right, and kind of a more mysterious, edgy type of film too, so it's still kind of got that, you know, same vibe to it, if you will.
Yeah.
So... All right, well, let's talk about some future projects, social media, Benji, website, all that good stuff. So hit us up with that info.
Yes. So right now, just working on Marley. That will start filming this coming weekend, and it will go on for two weekends. And then working on a few scripts right now. Hopefully, we'll be putting into production next summer for a feature length. And then socials, Instagram, Benji Ott, and YouTube, same thing, Benji Ott, and yeah.
Okay, cool. Benji, man, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Benji Ott, talking about making his new film, Marley, and all of the trials and tribulations go along with being a filmmaker. And I really do appreciate Benji taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And so, as I start to kind of wrap things up here, I'm going to let you know where you can comment if you would like to comment about this episode or any episode for that matter. First of all, you can shoot me an email if you want. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can also find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Oh, is it Twitter? Should I call it X? What? X, Twitter, whatever they're calling it this week. I don't care. Just follow me @PVDMVP. And of course, you can also leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and even Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. In fact, send me a message on Threads. Force me to use that social media app. I'm really dragging my feet on using Threads. I don't need another social media app or outlet. But nonetheless, let's keep going here and letting you know all of the different avenues where you can hear this great podcast. Just in case you have an uncle, an aunt, a coworker that would like to check out the PVDcast, well, they can go to pvdcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly. You're going to also catch episodes over on your favorite podcasting outlet, you know, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. All you have to do is go into the search bar of your favorite app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you listen through one of those apps or outlets, please rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm so much, and it's very important to myself and all the independent podcasters out there. So please do that. And while you're at it, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But if you want a couple of other ways, maybe simpler ways, depending on your point of view, to hear the PVDcast, well, I got some news for you. First of all, every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live kind of Facebook broadcast of the week's episode, and I'm even available on internet radio. That's right, CROC Radio, Croc Radio out of Kimberley, British Columbia has picked up the PVDcast, and I appreciate them so much for airing this podcast through the western coast of Canada, and I do appreciate it. So wherever you find internet radio directories, CROC is right in there. Click on it. Check out my show and all the great shows on CROC. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.